is XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back and getting close. Square price here on Lavender's Blue that both Vance Hansen and Kev Humphreys were interested in this upcoming Duke of Cambridge. And looking at the favorite, Nazif, there he is again, Sheikh Hamdan and Shadwell, Crowley and Gosden, 5-2. And then you've got three horses sitting at 4-1, four to one. Magic Lily for Godolphin, the one. The five, Jubiloso, Ryan Moore and Sir Michael, for Judmont. And now 9-2 on Queen Power. So, fifth choice for Lavender's Blue. Fifth choice because Wazmia, for Al Shakab, Dettori and Francis Henry Griffard are in there as well. So sixth choice. So you're getting a number here. And Miss O'Connor ended up scratching, which was a horse, the Haggis horse, for the Jacksons that there was interest in from Kev. Not today for Miss O'Connor. All right, let me get my video rebooted again. Oh boy, my feed, Casey, is saying technical difficulties with the Ask It picture. Are you getting the same? You getting the same thing, or do you have? Or is the? Are you okay? Because you've got NBCSN. Okay, you're good. All right. Well, then I'm going to have to rely on you for the gate work. We're kicking it old school when you were the official starter. There we go. The picture's back. you were a little behind me earlier, too. So right now we've got Tina calling from she's in Rochester taking care of the baby. I guess she forgot what I do Monday through Friday, 9 to noon. Pretty funny. I don't know what that was about. There's the Judmont filly coming forward, Jubiloso. It's a nice name, and a couple more. And you know, based on Case, when we went to you last race for the King Stand, there was still some editorial commentary going on before they sprung the gates. Loading the what'd you say, the eight? Okay, and the one. I can't really see. I'm a little further back. This one, here's the one with the blindfold. That trick again? Never works. Hey, Rocky. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. I think you're well behind me, Case, because they're off by me. So I'm going to vamp another couple of seconds here. You're going to have that four horse kind of, I think it was the four that was bouncing around and didn't want to go in, the one that was blindfolded. So, boy, they're worried about the whip rules. I putting a horse in blindfolded, I mean, that doesn't send a good signal either, does it? Don't let him see what he's going to deal with. I think, Case, you're probably you're probably closer now and ready for the video. That here we go. Just about set.
For this
here it is.
Cambridge Stakes was Mia posted, and with those the yellow of iconic choice for the last trio to get away. Invitational in white and green, though, will set the pace. The blue jacket for Magic Lily running in second place. The pink cap of Jubiloso is about a length and a half behind those. Holding third place from the black sleeves of Lavender's Blue. Nazif, blue and white colour, shows in fifth place. Another blue and white jacket. Behind her is Queen Power, showing in sixth. The silver colours of Wazmir is next. Two races in company with Agincourt, pink cap and white sleeves. Iconic choice in yellow behind her. Posted is the back marker. She'll be about 8 to 10 lengths behind the leader, which is Invitational, as they continue to make their way down the straight and coming towards halfway. The white blaze on the face of Magic Lily running in second place, and Jubiloso immediately tracks her, a pink cap and white sleeves. Lavender's Blue is next, and behind these is Nazif for Queen Power, just ahead of Iconic Choice. Behind those is Agincourt. Wazmir just shaken up a little bit towards the rear of the field. Posted is the back marker, but Invitational is moving along very strongly in front here, and she's got a handy break on the others. She's 3 or 4 lengths ahead with Andrea Zeni. Queen Power on the left in blue and white's move through into second position. Nazif is coming next. Then in the centre is Agincourt, is running on in the closing stages also. Invitational has been caught now. Agincourt, Queen Power, Nazif are the trio that move through to the lead. Into the closing stages, the pink cap is Danny Todd on Agincourt. Nearest to us, the blue and white is Jim Crowley on Nazif, who's wearing Agincourt down as they race to the line. Very tight, Nazif and Agincourt. Queen Power 2 lengths behind those, an Iconic Choice, and Posted might have just got 5th place.
Holy cow. The Shea Hamdan and Shadwell is just like out of control here. Another one, and Nazif 3 to 1. The Invincible Spirit and Agincourt ran very well, and looked the 5-year-old mare that we've seen before over the years ends up second. Those two end up clear. So there we go. Another one for Shadwell. How about that? How about that? Get Andy going here, and Case, yeah, get a hold of Andy, and we'll get to him. But you know, other than the early, well, I guess you had the Pile Driver was the upset of the day. You had the 17-1 as well for Shadwell to start the day, but one left the Ascot handicap. Andy Sterling joins us from the New York Racing Association after another terrific week of racing, highlighted by She's a Julie, speaking of upsets in the Ogden Phipps. Andy, good morning.
Did DT Sable have any running at Ascot today, Steve?
No, you know what? We didn't.
You opted out? You decided to support American racing
did.
This year? That was very big.
We did. We're
means a lot.
We're pointing... I know. We're pointing Minute Mouse to another, you know, 40 non-winners.
It's another spot. Well, she ran a promising second the other day, you know. You can never think too high.
No, she's a fun... I think you'll appreciate. We had Peter Bradley earlier, Andy, and because Steve Asmussen was on with me last week. Well, Peter, what a great series of successes he's had. And She's a Julie... talk about what went on there on Saturday, because nobody really gave her much notice going in.
I know I didn't. I gave her notice.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I noticed her. I threw her out. I didn't like her. But of course, it's one of the times that I don't like. It's the way horse racing works, if you don't live in fantasy land. So
right.
I don't know. And you know, she got a nice ride and she ran well. And I think, you know, listen. Take nothing away from her, and obviously a good move by Steve to bring her to New York. And even if he was just taking a shot, you know, there's no reason not to take a shot. And it was a race that was crying for people to take a shot. For some reason, a lot of people didn't want to run. I don't quite understand why. It was a grade one. I mean, they all want to point for a tougher field for less money in a grade two at Churchill. Okay. But I wonder if after She's a Julie won, there were a few trainers and connections going, gee, maybe we should have come for the odds and fits, but they didn't. And you can only win if you're running. And Steve came, and he won.
Hmm.
She got a great ride from Santana and a great setup. I mean, obviously, Ollie Candy ran the best race. Again, it's two times in a row for her. And I'm sure it's very frustrating for Connections because at the end of the day, you know, it's very easy for us to sit and say, well, the way she's running, you know, she's going to win a grade one or two before the year is up. And maybe she will. And maybe she won't. And the problem is, you got to win these races when you run well and you're in them, you know. And she's now run two winning races in a row in important grade ones and come up short, not because of lack of effort. I mean, I thought she ran sensationally, and just look where Blaine finished. And it's not like Blaine is a bad horse, you know. She absolutely crushed her, and it's what happens in these elongated sprints. And I think, or elongated, you know, these routes around one turn, I should say. But, you know, I think it's a good example of the people that mistakenly think that because the Belmont is around one turn, it's helpful to speed, when in fact the opposite is true. Because of the huge straightaway, the pace is always going to eat up in the second quarter, and it's always going to make it more taxing. Not always, but in general, it's going to make it more taxing for speed horses, and the paces are going to get hot. It's going to help closers. And it's just the nature of the game, because the two-turn race, the paces are going to slow up much more often. So I thought she ran a courageous race, you know, not losing to the late stages. And I don't want to be too hard on Point of Honor, because she's obviously a very nice horse. But I think if you're George Weaver in Connections, you have to be really disappointed, because this was the race that was gift-wrapped for her in every possible way. And she simply couldn't win. You know, there are nose losses that are heartbreaking. And there are nose losses, I think, for Connections and Betters where you get frustrated. You're like, how did she not win? You know? And I think you watch that race and you're like, my gosh, what more could have gone right for Point of Honor? And yeah, she came up, you know, an inch or two short, which is almost winning. But this was a nose that was a big nose for her. You know, she's just supposed to have won. She should have won by 2-3 lengths, frankly. So I think it's disappointing for her, because I don't know that she raced to get as good a setup at any point during her career, or a better setup. And she lost to where she shouldn't have lost to. And I'm not trying to knock She's a Julie, but I think if you said to her Connections, it's going to come down to you and She's a Julie in the stretch, they would have been pretty confident. She's a Julie's run some good races in the past, so it's not like she's a slouch. And I don't mean to imply that. But Point of Honor was a disappointing loss for her. And I have to think her Connections, you know, really felt this was the one that she could have and should have won. Still a good horse, but this was this had to be disappointing.
Yeah, you only get so many opportunities.
Yeah, right. You know, and anyone knows it's involved in the game. It's very easy to sort of sit back and say, well, running like that, you know, there's a grade one with her name on it, you know, as far as Ollie's Candy. Horses go the wrong way. The setups get different. You know, they stumble coming out of the gate. You got to win them when you run these winning efforts. And I feel bad for her Connections, because Ollie's Candy has really run sensationally well in two straight races, way too well to have lost. And, you know, she's just come up very short right at the end of those races. It's been tough. And I think her loss was a much tougher loss than that of Point of Honor, even though she was a little bit farther back, because she did all the dirty work. Again.
Yeah. And you could see when Blame dropped anchor, I realized, oof, I mean, she's really running here, and Ollie's Candy, and then all of a sudden, here come the two late arrivals.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, it's funny, because She's a Jewel, I'm like, who is that in between horses?
I know,
like, oh, my God. Like, are you kidding me?
I felt exactly the same way, Steve. It's true. But listen, that's one of the reasons we like the game so much, is that we're surprised. There's a certain element of being wrong and being surprised that keeps us coming back for more, right? You know, if we were right all the time, there wouldn't be any satisfaction in that. You know, what happens to the gambler that wins every bet he makes? He gets bored. He gets rich, but he gets bored. I didn't bet the race. I picked Ollie's Candy, and I was between her and Point of Honor. I'm sort of a coin flip. I usually side with the speed. And I was really rooting for Ollie's Candy. I always, in my heart, in these races, even though I don't like them, I root for horses that are running as valiantly as that. I remember, you know, I made a nice hit with, was it Mandela that won? It wasn't Mandela. Hollendorfer? The horse that won the Met Mile that beat Cross Traffic at the Wire. He'd won with Carter, too. Joel Rose, 2 years ago, right? But I remember after the race, I was feeling embarrassed cashing because Cross Traffic had run such an incredible race and defeat. And then I think he came back and he won the Whiskey, right? Who was the horse? Who was the horse that won? A few years ago in the Met. I could look it up.
I can't think of who you mean.
The horse that got up to win by a nose, right? At the Wire and the Met Mile. I'll look it up on my phone.
Okay, because I'm a West Coast horse.
It was 15. I'm looking. It was 13. Sahara Sky, Hollander.
Oh wow! Okay, that goes back further. Yeah, that's back a little bit.
What about that far back?
That's 7 years ago.
The longest encyclopedia of races going back. So I hear you coming in New York.
Yeah, no doubt.
Excited, right?
Yes. Thursday and Friday leading in.
Is Tina coming or is she just getting rid of you for a few days?
She is not coming because the only haircut, the only salon appointment she could get was for Saturday. And I said to her, I said, that's Belmont Day. She goes, well, I thought nobody can go. I said, they can't. And she said, well, then I'm not coming. So...
Oh, that's right. She wouldn't be allowed. So
she said,
nice
"I'm not." Yeah, she goes, "I'm not going
to." That was very thoughtful of you to make that appointment for Saturday.
Ta-da! That was good. That was very good. Andy, before you talk about Belmont Week, no, you can't go yet. A couple of quick notes.
Is there an Ascot race coming up or something?
There is an Ascot race, the last of the day. The next race, seventh race, will be the last at 11:40. And then John Curran from Delaware Park is going to join us.
They're opening tomorrow.
Andy,
Vega came up a nice
They're race. Opening tomorrow.
Their third race is a good maiden race, too, tomorrow.
It's a tremendous card.
There's a debuting daughter of My Princess Jets. Originally owned by my friend Pete Minicus.
Man, how is Minicus? You haven't heard of
his name. You want to call him? You probably have his number.
I do, actually. Is he?
I'm sure he's fine. I talked to him recently.
Well, they've got a very nice card, top to bottom. Although there is no, for those of you that look forward to those Arabian races, no Arabian race tomorrow. But
that's my favorite.
There's a first
story.
Level allowance. What
story?
About?
I was sitting in a box years ago with Harvey Pack, and Beyer came in, and Beyer was very excited about the late double at Delaware. So Harvey always wants action. So Harvey said, "Sandy, you know what are you playing?" And Andy said, "Like, you know, 3-4 with 1-2." So Harvey bet his usual small bet on the double, and the first one won it like 5-1. So they were alive and. Everybody was excited, and they came on the track for the race, and Ari turned to Andy and said, "We bet an Arabian race." They won, so it was fine. Andy was off the hook when they won.
That's great. That's great. Well, then you and I have one of our really fun days together was that drive down to Delaware.
No, that's right. You picked me up in the city. I remember that. That was fun. Yeah. That was a fun day.
We ran Rampillion, and we won by, you know, a dozen lengths. The Rampillion
really important
whistle.
Racing celebrities there. Freddie Moe was there. Jeez.
Yep. And,
what a lineup.
And John. John,
Angeles,
right?
Because Nate Griff. Yeah. Right.
And Steve Haskin. And Haskin.
We picked up Haskin at his house. Yeah. I remember him well.
It was a fun day.
It was a beautiful day. It was right around this time of the year, wasn't it? Was it before Saratoga? I think it was right before Saratoga.
That's probably right. And I'd also remember that I after I dropped you off late that night, I stopped at a little boutique and I bought Tina a sweater in a boutique in your neighborhood. and
that was when shops were.
It was one of the first.
I vaguely remember.
That's
that
right.
Getting more and more hazy.
I didn't get a chance to reach out and bring John Terranova on, but I really kind of wanted to. How about Funny Guy's 4-year-old debut?
Yeah. John's been having a good meet, right? He won 2 races one day
yes.
last week, a week before. Oh, they do a good job, both John and Tanya. Listen, it's been a hard year for John with all his concerts canceled. I don't know what he's been doing with himself, you know? Guy's got more free time now than he ever had. Funny Guy's always been a nice horse. He really has. And he ran, obviously, really took a step forward in his first start as a 4-year-old. That was a good, strong race. Really strong race. What do you get, the 101 buyer? He ran very,
101
very well.
101 buyer,
but being Mr. Buff and a bunch of good horses in there. No, that was a very strong effort by him. I agree. You know, I thought when he won the Albany, it was a good sign, because I still don't know if, you know, a 1 1/8 isn't a little far for him from his best, right? You know, it's the fact that he won that. And, he's a nice horse. Yeah, it's a good group of horses, actually.
You know, Mr. Buff. You mentioned the Albany, and it makes me think of that race on Saturday that I had no trouble with Seafoam. What went on there? Seafoam getting wire to wire?
By the way, in case you're wondering, the reason people bring it up is an unusual race because there were 3 winners ages 5. There were 3 horses in the race, 5, 6, and 7, that had won back-to-back-to-back runnings of the New York Handicap, the New York Derby,
yes.
and then the Albany, which is really, Aragona noticed the Albany and comment on it, and then I realized they won the New York Derby as well. So, there was some strange riding in that race that Seafoam ended up walking on the front end, being he was about the 4th fastest horse early, and that was a race that looked to have a lot of pace. I don't know. You know what, I find a lot of these races, the decision-making to be extremely puzzling. Sometimes they seem to go, and sometimes everybody takes back, and that was very strange. I don't know why they abdicated the lead to him. All 3 horses inside of him were faster than he was, all 3 of them, and considerably faster than he was, and nobody went at all, and he walked in the front end. I don't know. I wish I had an answer. The reasons riders go or don't go are eluding me. I don't get it. Listen, sometimes it's connections, you know, the trainers that tell them. Trainers share the blame.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they could be more. I also think the trainers, and I'm sure I'll make somebody mad, but.
That's your job.
But I think trainers would be wise to be more, and I think jockeys would benefit from it, to be more demonstrative. That, well, you can go, but if somebody else wants it, no. I think sometimes trainers need to say, I want to see you on the lead. You know? And I think that makes a jockey's life easier if a trainer does that, you know? Giving sort of mixed signals doesn't really help. I had a little of the Cuomo press conference on yesterday, and he actually said something really funny that I can relate to. He was talking about getting sent videos and messages from people of restaurants in New York that were around the state that were not abiding by, you know, social distancing and things, getting tweets. And he said, you know, we got 25,000 pictures. He said, that's really a lot for us to get. He said, you know, we really don't get that many. I mean, sometimes when I say something really absurd, we get a lot. That was really funny. And I could relate to saying something really absurd. But I don't think it's absurd to suggest that trainers, I think they'd be better suited. You know, I think we all are better. It's a game where having a definitive opinion, you know, it's like you give yourself an out by saying, well, you want to go, and then you can say to the rider, of course, I told you to go. Well, you didn't really. Or, make a decision and live with it, right? Live with it. Lose. You're going to lose probably anyway, so why not try to make the right decision that gives you a slightly better chance of winning? The whole idea is to give yourself the best chance to win. You're still going to lose the majority of the time. Doesn't matter who you are, right? Even high percentage trainers lose the majority of the time.
Well, and then that, you know, it's one of the things that seems to distinguish Baffert and his approach. I mean, he tells everybody, go.
Well, you know, but it's not as simple as that.
Make him catch you.
It's not as simple as that. And I think one of the things, if you look at Bob, he adapts, right? I mean, he had Mike Smith go to lead with Arrogate. Well, as we found out, Arrogate's not a speed horse, right? He went to the lead with West Coast in the Travers, and he's not a speed horse. So Bob is ready to send a horse that's not really a speed horse because he sees the situation is open for it. And that's the difference between that and just the send mentality with every horse. Bob has plenty of horses that have been successful coming from behind, but he is willing to put himself out there, you know, because you have to be willing to say after the race, you know, why did you send that horse the lead when he loses? You know, and he's been very successful, obviously, often enough that if somebody asked him, he could say, well, I don't know, I've done it before and it's worked. But I think you have to be ready to be wrong, to be right. You know, it's like I get criticized for having strong opinions by idiots on social media who never have an opinion before the race. So, what if, you know, like, what does it matter what they think? At least I have an opinion before the race. It's wrong all it's a lot of the time, but so what? Who cares? We're all wrong a lot of the time. Have an opinion, qualify it, and see if it works, and move on.
And learn, you know, and learn from it going forward.
Right. Yep. I mean, also realize, you know, just because I say, you know, I think it would be a great situation if this horse goes to lead, it's not something because you think that means the horse is going to win. It means it's going to give the horse its best chance to win. There's a big difference there, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, is there another Ascot race coming up soon?
There is about 5 minutes, and before we go, though, there's a chance maybe we'll get a Friday conversation once this Belmont field and the whole Belmont card is drawn tomorrow. But some early thoughts. All right, well, some early. You got TV. Some thoughts, though, Andy, coming into this. Obviously, Tis the Law is going to be way, way the horse to beat. They still have to go out and run the race.
Yeah, and listen, Tappet to win, you know, we'll see what he does. And there's a part of me that's really rooting for Tappet to win to do well, because I respect Mark running him back, you know, in a race like this on relatively short rest. And I agree with Mark's philosophy that you run them while they're good. So many horses have not run while they were good and ended up getting hurt in the interim. Tisla is the horse to beat. He's a fabulous horse. I mean, he's had a terrific career. He's done absolutely... They say nothing wrong, but more than doing nothing wrong, he's done a whole hell of a lot right. He's got the speed to put himself in the game, and I'm looking forward to the race. I'm looking forward to the day. It's going to be a great day of racing. I feel bad. We've had this nice weather. It's like, on Saturday and Sunday, we're on the air telling people, oh, it's such a beautiful day, and I feel bad because we're out there at Belmont, and nobody can come. So there's a part of me that sort of feels, you know, I feel badly telling people how nice it is and racing because they can't come and enjoy us. Fortunately, they can enjoy it on TV, but it's not the same as being there. This is a nice time to be anywhere outdoors, right? But, it should be a really fun day of racing. And I'm looking forward to it for Manny Franco. I really hope that Manny and Barkley are able to win that race, which is the law. You know, two people I like a lot, respect a lot, but be a huge win for Manny. You know, he's had a lot of success, but he's never won a race of this magnitude. So, from a personal standpoint, I'd love to see him do well in there.
I absolutely would agree. And looks like 8 or 9 in the entry box tomorrow.
I don't work in the racing office, so I'm...
Not... Somebody just asked me actually for the probables, so I sent those to them.
You're very magnanimous that way. You're a giver.
Tis the law. Tis the Law, Sol Volante, Dr. Post, Farmington Road, Max Player, Tap It to Win, Pneumatic, and Jungle Runner, and we're waiting for a modernist decision from the Mott camp. He said yesterday they're running?
I thought he did. I don't know. I'm not
okay. I didn't know. I didn't see that. All right. Good.
I'm doing That'd a draw. Good. We're doing a draw show, I think, at noon on YouTube. Go to the Naira YouTube page. We're doing a draw show, Maggie and I, and lots of people working hard behind the scenes at noon. So since I'm schlepping out to Belmont to do that, I would like everybody to watch. Just watch Maggie. You don't have to watch me, but I'd like you to watch.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you told me that. I did see an email yesterday, and I will look forward, Andy, to watching you and then maybe seeing you Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I bet you don't watch. I don't believe you. It's going to be right on it right after your show is over. I bet you don't watch. I think you're full of it.
I will watch because I'll be
really
sitting
do. I think I caught you in a lie.
I'll be watching.
You'll say to me,
I'm interested.
I went on the ring, and you'll give me some big story. I know who my real friends are.
Pete Minicus.
Right, he'll be watching. All right, see you later.
Andy Serling, everybody, and America's Day at the Races comes back. Comes back tomorrow, right? Because Churchill running? No, Churchill's not running tomorrow. I think they're not running till Thursday, right? We got to turn our attention. John Curran's going to join us here momentarily. As soon as this race runs, we'll bring John in and talk about Delaware's opening day, which is happening tomorrow. And I will also confirm. Yeah, I think they're running Thursday. Yeah, so the next TV broadcast. Thursday, America's Day at the Races. Let's get to the finale today. It's been a fun morning at Ascot. We've gotten, four of the six races in? We missed the first, or three maybe. They're going to go 2.5 miles. This is going to take a lot of time. You know what, Case? I don't want to cut John too short. Assuming they get right in the gate and run, yeah, that'll sort of be like a commercial break, right? See how far along. Yeah, they're still behind the gate. The horse that Kev was interested in, too, he liked that Coeur de Lion, the 14, and the 12, Land of Oz. And Land of Oz, Sir Mark Prescott, 12-1. Right now, and Coeur de Lion is 20-1. The heavy favorite in a big field here is Verdana Blue, 9-5, and that's a little. It seems like a low number in a field of 20. They're still coming across, and Case, I'm just let's see. Yeah, they're gonna still be a little bit. This is gonna end up being real short for John. Maybe get John, and we'll just pick up the stretch run of this race. Okay, yeah, because otherwise they're going 2.5 miles. I mean, this is gonna take 3 minutes. So at the rate they're loading. Yeah, this won't end until 10 of by the time they're finished. Let me just glance while Casey's raising John. Let me just look at the bookie shops for Dana Blue. I'll tell you what, Land of Oz, it looks like the value because the price that he is on the tote is half of what he is in the bookie shops. 6-1. 6-1 at the bookies and 12-1 on the tote. Nice. So Land of Oz, maybe hopefully clever. Give Kev a good leg up into day two tomorrow. Moon King, your third choice at 6-1. And Blue Laureate is 7-8-1 on the tote. On the bookies and 6-7-1 also on Summer Moon. The tote is 8-5 on Verdana Blue, the one, the Coolmore. And that seems a little overly aggressive. All right. We'll listen to the stretch run when the time comes because I don't want to take away from John Curran and Delaware Park, the little track that could with the most beautiful paddock in all of racing. John, good morning.
Good morning. How's everything?
Excellent, John. I appreciate this, and looking forward to the season at Delaware. And I'm sure that you and Vessi and everybody can only hope that the racing is as good all summer long as it is tomorrow.
Well, I don't think it can get much better there because of all the you know, all the tracks that aren't running right now in the Mid-Atlantic region there. We kind of got a festival of racing here on Wednesday with horses coming from Parks and Penn National and horses coming from Florida, Oaklawn Park. We have a pretty good contingent here. It's I haven't seen a card like this except for maybe our owner's day at the end of the year.
Well, and, you know, it's been the pressure on Delaware has been tough. You know, how long have you been there?
This will be my 37th year.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The longevity of it's really something. You and Rich, and I mean, it's one of those, like Monmouth, in a sense, you know, a real family kind of a organization, and you know, people that, you know, just been long associated with the Oval.
Yeah, it is that way. And I'm lucky because I grew up in South Jersey. I still live in South Jersey. In fact, I grew up about 3 miles from the old Garden State Park there and still live around that area. So I used to go to Double Park when I was a kid on Sundays, and it was fantastic being there in the Grove. It is one of the prettiest paddocks you'll see in the country. And it's just like a family atmosphere there. People like to bring their kids, and it's kind of, you miss that anymore in a lot of racetracks. And, of course, a lot of them have turned to Racino, so that's what's going to happen there. But, yeah, it's fun to go to a track where you can really sit outside and enjoy the races.
The fields tomorrow, and you mentioned the Obeah, and you got an opinion, you got some thoughts about this group?
Well, it's a pretty good group, and I think it's much better than last year's group, in which Gotham Gala, Arnold Delacour's horse, won the Obeah last year. I think there are four pretty good contenders. They're all with a possible shot to run the Delaware Handicap. I mentioned Gotham Gala for Delacour. He says she's working out terrifically. She hasn't won this year. Working out very well there, but she said she's in great shape now and ready to go. And, of course, you got Steve Asmussen coming in with Lady Apple, who's had a very nice career there, won the Houston Classic down there at Sam Houston, and didn't run bad in the Grade 1 Apple Blossom last time. Only got beat 5 lengths there. A lot of people, I think, are going to kind of discard her last couple races there, but it was a pretty good race there. So I think she's going to be the favorite there. And then anywhere you have a Brad Cox horse around the country, you got to take a second look. He's had the 7 Vault for a couple starts now, ran a good third last time at Churchill Downs. So Florent Drew coming in to ride that one. That's going to be a contender. And now you got Richard Baltus on the outside with Motion to Motion, the 11 horse there. And people back east don't know a whole lot about Richard Baltus, but he's been one of the top trainers out in California for the last couple of years. And like a lot of Californians, they're moving their stables around right now to the Midwest and various regions. And Baltus has some, I think, at Churchill Downs, and he's shipping this one in. So those are four pretty good horses there. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if any one of those four wins.
You know, I'm going to bring up a horse that whenever I look at her, she seems to be winning races around the region, and that's Anthony Margata's Bronx Beauty. And she came to town and won the Dashing Beauty last year, and she's trying something we haven't seen her do, and that's go long. She's speedy, and I'm really curious to see how Castillo handles her tomorrow. She's down inside, so she, and I think just her natural speed is gonna put her in the race. You know, she's an 8-time winner, and I couldn't help but sort of, you know, I put a question mark next to Bronx Beauty because it seemed like an interesting concept. Second off the layoff as well, and you know, she went 6 at Gulfstream in May before breaking camp and Margata coming back up to the Northeast.
Well, she has the rail, and speed usually does well early in the meet there. They're going to have to send her and get a clear, easy lead. I think Delacour is going to send one of his two horses in the race there, probably have to go with her early on. And if Gotham Gala gets the lead, she'll be really tough to beat there. And his other horse, you know, the 8-horse there, Fusion Faux Pas, also has some speed. So if she has some company on the front end, it may be tougher to get the mile and the 16th there. But being on the rail, starting with the rail and having speed, she's going to go early, and we'll just see how far she can run.
You mentioned Brad Cox, 6-1 on Vault, Fashion Faux Pas, Delacour, and yeah, I certainly am not going to bring up other topics before mentioning that Ferris Allen, who we got great respect for, Ferris comes to town as well with Wicked Awesome, and Wicked Awesome coming off of a win at Laurel back in March, and you know, kind of a, I think, could be a little sneaky in here. She's got a win going back, I think, to her two-year-old year at Delaware as well. So going to be a price, 12-1, Wicked Awesome with Frankie Pennington for Ferris Allen. Hold on 1 second, John, and we're going to listen to the second half here of the last race at Royal Ascot. Here is the Ascot Handicap.
Center and the white face of Rochester House as well, but it's still Summer Moon. Joe Fanning in front, Verdana Blue, Ryan Moore alongside, Coeur de Lion in the dark blue and pink, and Thor Hammer Hansen on the outside. Coeur de Lion getting through late on to win. Second will be Verdana Blue, third is close. The yellow was Summer Moon, and then the purple and white jacket up on the outside of Smart Champion. Very tight between those third and fourth.
Well, we're just catching it, and our man Kev Coeur de Lion, there it is. It took most of the morning, but 23-1 for Alan King and Hammer Hansen. Kev mentioned the jock with the fun name. Hammer Hansen brings home Coeur de Lion, the 14, and the favorite settles for second in here, Verdana Blue and Ryan Moore. And so there's that mutual we've been kind of looking for. Coeur de Lion, 23-1 to close out day one at Royal Ascot, and we'll have Kev's day two analysis probably later. I guess I must have gotten it last night at about, it must have been about 8 o'clock he got it to me, so I'll put it up as soon as Kev gets it to me. It'll go up on the website, so I hope some people stuck with him today and cashed there, because the idea, he looks for prices and then you hook him up with some of the obvious horses, and that's going to be a nice swinger between the 14, Coeur de Lion, and Verdana Blue. Verdana Blue actually floated up to 3-1 by the time the gates opened. John Kern's on with us, the voice of Delaware. And, you know, earlier, John, I was talking to Andy Serling, and Andy and I and Steve Askin and others, you probably don't even know this, we had a horse running at Delaware several summers ago. In fact, this has got to go back to like 2008, and Rampillion, and had the opportunity to get to the track that day. I forget. I think something was happening on Sirius XM, and we were going to be preempted. It was a Tuesday. I think it was a Tuesday, and so I jumped in the car and picked up Andy in the city and then Haskin in Jersey, and we came down to Delaware, and we had such a great day, and then we end up winning. And so you know, that call with you, Clinton Potts aboard, and you know, she won by the length of the stretch, and I always cherish that. You know, your voice is so synonymous with Delaware.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Steve. And I get a lot of comments like that. People, when they come to Delaware Park for the first time and haven't seen it, you know, it's a very picturesque track. It's more like a rural type of setting out there with the trees around and the barns in the backstretch. Now we have a golf course there next to it, and it's evolved a lot in the last 10 years or so. But, yeah, it's a great day of racing. And we have a really good card tomorrow, as you mentioned there. Some of these races, these allowance races, a maiden special on the turf. I mean, you know, we've got Grand Motion horses, Mac Robertson shipping in this year. He was here for quite a while and left for the last 2 years to go to Canterbury and, I believe, Arlington. And, of course, what's happening in the Illinois racing just a shambles right now. It's a shame. But yeah. Max here with about 40 horses. He's got about two or three in tomorrow. That looked really good, and he could have a good day tomorrow. But we have some really good trainers in there with some good horses. Jose Camelo, a little-known guy from Louisiana, came up last year and had a very good meet there. And, of course, we have the usual suspects like Jamie Ness and Scott Lake. Steve Placeris is back with a barn, and many others there. So it's going to be, I think, a pretty competitive meet this year.
Who's running the racing office these days?
Well, John Mooney is back in charge of the racing office there.
Okay,
and you know he's been there. Then he went away for a while. Then he came back about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. So he's the director of operations right now for racing. And you know, it's a struggle, as you said. The Mid-Atlantic region is the most competitive region in all of America. People don't realize, you know, there are 6 tracks within maybe 2 hour drive, and you can run a lot of different places. And you also have Fair Hill down the road, a training center, which a lot of horsemen use, like Mike Stidham and Grand Motion and many others like that. And get the horses ready to roll, and so you have a lot of competition, a lot of different venues for people to race there, and it's tough throughout the summer to you know, sometimes you get your races to go there. But you do find some really good horses and some really good trainers and some really good jockeys. Of course, you know, many people don't realize Ramon Dominguez started with 5-10 leading rider here at Delaware Park before he went on to you know, New York and places like that there. So we've had a nice contingent of good trainers and good jockeys, and they're still in the area, which is kind of fun because every now and then, you know, you get to see an Fleet Alex or a Barbaro or a Tappet or a Hard Spun make their debuts at Delaware Park and win. So we have a long list of horses that people don't realize broke their maidens here at Delaware Park and went on to bigger and better things.
No doubt. And you mentioned the talk about the training community. You mentioned Ness, and you got Jerry Bennett, Capuano as well, and John Rigottieri. You know, a lot of some of the New England guys that winter in Tampa in a lot of cases, you know, then come back up to Delaware. And you mentioned, boy, I'm just looking up and down, Jerry O'Dwyer, got Terry Houghton, and you mentioned Claceris. How about Mike Gorham, long time
Delaware guy who's hung around for a long time, and he always is very effective. And of course, guys at Fairhill like a Michael Stidham and people like that, you know, have a bunch of horses there, and they can run wherever they want to run. But, you know, he'll pop up on the entries. Tom Proctor, another good veteran trainer. Arnaud Delacour, one of the better young trainers in the game right now. So any given day, you can see some really nice races here. And fortunately, Wednesday, we've got a lot of them, so it's going to be fun.
The jockey colony too. Let's give everybody a quick glance at who we expect to be, you know, taking the lion's share of the mounts. And of course, last summer we should note Carol Cedeno had just a spectacular meet and has really not gotten the attention that she deserves. You know, had a couple of children and you know, then came back to ride. And I always at Philly and at Delaware, I've always thought that she did a nice job on a horse.
Yeah, she's one of the best female riders in the country and one of the best riders in this Mid-Atlantic region there. She's been atop the standings a few times here, and she'll be back riding Trevor McCarthy. Of course, Michael McCarthy's son has had a great career to start off with. He'll be riding here. Danny Centeno always comes up and does well, and because of the lack of competition at Penn National and Philly Park and places like that, we're getting some of the better riders from parks like Frankie Pennington, Michael Sanchez, and Ana Rodriguez to ride, and I think Tyler Connor from Penn National, and Edwin Gonzalez. I think he's winning at 30% right now. So we've got some really good riders coming in from these various outlets too. So it's going to be very competitive.
Now, it's a track that for people that have never had a chance to visit. And I should ask John, what is the status? Are patrons? What's the patron or owner status in terms of being able to attend?
Well, we are letting fans come in. We've been mandated by the governor, by the state, to open up for simulcasting a couple weeks ago. We've got people in for simulcasting. You know, it has to be like a certain amount of people. Like I imagine we're going to have a lot more people than we can handle tomorrow, so you better get there early to make sure you get in there. I think it's going to be 60% capacity, but you have to get a temperature check when you enter, and you have to wear a wristband and a mask when you're inside. I think outside you won't have to wear a mask if you're staying outside for the most part. When you come into the building, you're going to have to have the temperature check, and you're going to have to wear a mask on. So there will be a limitation. I'm not sure how many people exactly are going to be allowed in. But there's only one entrance in and out from the paddock side, and you'll have to come in that way if you want to go inside there. But I think we're going to have some windows open outside, too, around the paddock area so people can stay outside and enjoy the day.
John Curran, Delaware Park, opening tomorrow. And what day? I know it's early July, but what day is the handicap day?
Well, it's coming up right around the corner. July 4th is the Delaware Oaks. That's our second biggest race, and I think that's a win and you're in for the Kentucky Oaks this year. So that should be a fun day. And July 11th is our Delaware Handicap. Now, they reduced the purse to $400,000 and the distance for the first time to a mile and an eighth instead of a mile and a quarter. I'm not thrilled with that. Huh. I still like the mile and a quarter distance, but I can see why. So we're going to have a couple of big days early on in the meet there on July 4th and July 11th. So a lot of competition around the country, too, from Keeneland and Belmont and tracks like that there. So it should be interesting to see what happens. But for the first 3 or 4 weeks there, we're running Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. We had Thursdays in mid-July, I think July 16th.
John, looking forward to tomorrow, and the fact that people can go to Delaware, for those that have been just dying for a chance to come to the racetrack, not a bad option at all. Absolutely the most beautiful paddock in the country. If you've never seen pictures of it, you won't believe it. You'll think you're in the Bavarian woods. It's just remarkable. John, I'm delighted to get a chance to talk to you. Thanks so much for this, and have a great meet. Best of luck to everybody at Del Park.
Thanks, Steve, and we appreciate it. Remember, if you come tomorrow, come early, because we may have an overflow of people.
That'd be all right. That'd be a good problem to have. John Curran, everybody, Delaware Park. And you can follow Delaware Park on Twitter, too. And there we go. We got the lay of the land, the Dell Oaks on July 4th, and the Dell Cap on July 11th. We'll look at this card tomorrow. And also Prairie Meadows opens tomorrow. I want to remind everybody of that. In fact, today's action, Thistledown, Tampa, Mountaineer, Louisiana Downs, Lone Star, Indiana, Gulfstream. Well, Gulfstream, no, Gulfstream is simulcast. Fort Erie, Fairmount, Fair Meadows, Assiniboia, and Arapahoe. There's your menu. Royal Ascot in the books for day one. Best of luck, everybody. I want to thank John Curran as well as Andy. Had a fun visit with Tommy Drury, Vance Hansen earlier, and Peter Bradley. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. At the races, Sirius XM.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horstmann, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
Of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.